Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming out. Welcome. My name is Dubs Weinblatt. My pronouns are they, them, theirs. And I am so excited to be here with you for season 8 of the Thank You for Coming Out podcast. So a few months ago, I posted on Threads wondering if anyone would be interested in coming on the podcast as a guest. I could not believe the response I got. Hundreds of people reached out saying they wanted to tell their story on the podcast. Well, I can't interview hundreds of people for season 8, but what I can do is ask people to fill out a form and then fill out a Calendly and then schedule those conversations. And so without further ado, here is an episode recorded with one of my new friends on Threads. I hope you enjoy.
Dani Roberts, she, her, is a writer, speaker, and advocate whose work lives at the intersection of identity, rest, and reclamation, challenging the broken systems that keep people burnt out, boxed in, and disconnected from themselves. A queer, multi-passionate human who has never fit neatly into one box, Dani explores what we owe ourselves versus what the world told us we owe it. Her TEDx, Why Working Harder Isn't Working, has been viewed over 54,000 times, and she has an upcoming TED Talk at TED Democracy Philadelphia in June 2026. Her sapphic poetry collection, Read My Lips, is a 2026 Goldie Awards finalist. When Dani's not on stage or in the page, or on the page, I can't read tonight, you can find her deep in a 3D puzzle, a good book, or in nature. Dani, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it's a pleasure. I'm always like, how are you? How's your day? Which there's just such like a boring question. I'm going to break the pattern and ask you a different opening question, which is, what's something that made you giggle today?
Something that made me giggle. Ooh. I have a front porch and I try and have my coffee out there every single morning when the weather is nice. And there were two squirrels beating the crap out of each other on the front lawn and they were just chasing each other around. And I was like, this is wild.
Wow.
So it made me chuckle a little bit. They were like fighting over their food.
Wow. I don't know that I've ever seen that before. That's interesting.
I mean, it was like, man, do I need to intervene? What's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, seriously. I saw a video, I don't remember who posted it, but someone posted a video. Some person had just been stung by a bee. And usually when someone is stung by a bee, you like flick the bee off and the stinger gets stuck and then the bee dies. But apparently if you like let the bee figure itself out and like relax your muscles and everything, the bee will like unwind itself and like unscrew its stinger. Now that I'm saying this out loud to you, like maybe this was AI, but it looked real. I'm going to Google it later, but it was cool because then it like released itself and flew away.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. I hope that's real.
It's very, anyways. I mean, this day and age, it is like even me scrolling through, I'm like, I don't know what to trust with some of the content that I'm looking at these days.
Yeah. It's really scary and disheartening.
Yeah.
But that is not what this podcast is about. And so I want us to focus on you and your coming out story or coming into self story. We all have multiple versions of those. And I'd love to hear one that you'd like to share.
Yeah, thank you for asking. I did not know that I was gay, queer, until I was 23. I grew up in a Roman Catholic household, so CCD every Saturday, church every Sunday, kind of against my will, but you know, had to do what my parents wanted. And you hear all of that messaging that you hear in church that, you know, gay people are bad and they're going to go to hell and that it's a sin. And I think my younger self was, well, you know, I'm good, so I can't possibly be gay. And that's kind of how I lived my life until my early 20s. I'm part of a big gay family, I like to refer to it. One of five siblings, and two out of the three of us identify as part of the community. So I have a gay brother and a trans brother. And my gay brother came out first when he was 15. And I think part of my mental process and not understanding was like, okay, well, one of us is gay and like that's it. Like nobody else is. And I was always like a fierce advocate for him. I even wrote like a high school paper on why gay marriage should be legalized. So like I identified as an ally, and then when my mom passed away when I was 23, I kind of looked at my life and I was like, what am I doing? I'm like following this path that I'm supposed to follow, that society told me I should want, and all of it feels wrong. So I started peeling back some of the layers of my life, and I was like, oh, I think I might be attracted to women. So, 23 was kind of when I started to like fully realize it about myself. And then I actually came out when I was 25 as bi, and I now identify as queer.
What does queer mean to you?
That I am attracted and I will love anybody regardless of gender identity or sexual orientation.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing. it's I've been this is my this is the eighth season of this podcast, so I've had the honor and privilege of hearing a lot of coming out, coming into self stories. And through the years, there's patterns that emerge, and one of them is like religious suppression and trauma, and which is just so sad. It's heartbreaking to hear. And another one is folks whose parent passes away, and that is like gives them permission to like dig a little bit deeper and find and reclaim parts of who they are. And I just think that that's so fascinating and also sad, that
Yeah.
someone has to pass away for folks to feel comfortable.
Yeah. And a lot of, I think, the coming out process is like grieving old versions of you as well, and like the life that you thought that you would have. But when people die, you realize how short life is. And I was close with my mom, and I watched her. So she first got diagnosed with cancer when I was like 11 or 12 years old. She passed away when I was 23. And I watched her for so long make her illness her identity. And I could see on her face when she was diagnosed again the regret that she had for the lives that she didn't live because she was so wrapped up in what had happened to her. And I was like, you know what? I need to honor the days that I do have, like, in a way that she would hopefully be proud of me, to honor the days that she didn't get. So, yeah, I think I started to really just ask myself the deeper questions after that happened.
Yeah, which a lot of people don't and won't do. They won't open those doors and look deeper because it can feel really hard. It can feel really scary. And once you open it, it's very challenging to close it again.
Yeah, once you know things, you cannot unknow them.
You cannot unknow them. It's true. And so, okay, so are you close with your siblings?
Yes, I would say so. My brother and I live with my brother actually right now. We're very close, goofing around. My sister and I, we are like 18, 19 months apart. She lives in San Diego, so I'll go out and visit her every once in a while. And then my oldest sister and my youngest brother, they're kind of like doing their own thing. So I talk to the people sandwiched in the middle the most.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just I love that you have like queer siblings. I don't have any. I have one openly queer cousin, and I think that's it. And it's a lot of work to be the only queer in your family.
It really
It's
is. Yeah, carrying a
right.
lot on your shoulders. Yeah. If people have questions and they're asking you those questions, or the questions that they're not asking you that they want to ask you. It's just like a whole energy thing. But I'm very grateful to have them as supports and It can be, I mean, it can be a lonely thing, especially like my dad. So he's now a born again Christian. And that is a challenge. He's come a long way from where he started. But I think with each of us that has come out, he has really had to go through like a learning process of loving us in a different way. He always says love and acceptance are two different things, which is a struggle. But it's like, no, you can't love and reject me at the same time. And Glennon Doyle, I think, said that on one of her podcasts. Like, you have to choose. Like, you have to love and accept me, or you're rejecting me. You can't do both. So, to be able to kind of lean on each other when we've had that messaging is, I think, life-saving in a lot of ways. So yeah, they were my first queer community, my siblings.
I think it's so, that's so sweet. And I think it's, I don't see it quite as often, like when your chosen family and your family of origin overlap so greatly. I think that that's really special. So
I
you
want to tell my dad, like, listen, one of you, either you or my mom, you're the gay factory. Like, we're the output.
totally. That's so true.
It's, there's a biological component to it, absolutely. So, it's just, if you're projecting and that
You know, I first of all, I think that's so funny. And like I tell my parents all the time, like, hey, I didn't choose to be here. You did this. Like this is your fault. Anything that happens, it's your fault. And so, okay, so at 23, you're like, oh, I think I like women. So once you kind of like open that door and start doing the digging, were there like hindsight moments of like, oh, I was so queer?
So gay. I don't know how I didn't know, or how somebody in my life didn't tell me. Like, I was a proud tomboy growing up. I hated being in dresses. I played hockey. I was the only girl on my like hockey team when I was younger, and it was just like celebrated that I was a tomboy. And then when I was in like middle school, it's so hard because you don't realize what you are feeling is not what everybody else, like, that they're feeling differently. It's like, oh, I think this boy is cute. And it's like, okay, I'll just pick and point one, that one. Like, you don't realize that other
Totally.
people aren't feeling that way. So it's like, oh yeah, that was actually attraction. Okay, I understand that now. So there's some funny stuff that I laugh at. I forget what her name is, and I won't say it, but I remember being in second grade and I went over to this girl's house to like have an after school play date, and she kissed me on the cheek, and I was like gay panic, however young that I was. Like, I was like, what is happening? This is crazy. So there's like a lot of like funny moments. I'm like, oh, okay. But then there's also like sad moments of like, oh man, I feel sad for my younger self that she didn't know who she was for so long.
Yeah, and I think that kind of ties into what you were saying earlier about like grieving old versions of yourself and the life that you thought you would have. And I recently unearthed a journal and like pages that me and a friend wrote back and forth to each other. I had no recollection of coming out in high school, but I had to have based on these journals, which is just bonkers to me. But like reading back high school self, it's so sad. It makes me so sad how sad I was and how, I mean, I know that I was sad and I know that I was like desperate to like figure things out and feel safe, but like to read it is really like heartbreaking. It's
I
rough.
can empathize. Yeah, and I'm sorry that you had to, experience all of that. It's hard to look back, but I hope it's also like a proud moment of all of the ways in which that you've grown since then.
Yeah, for sure. Like it's every day. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm living what I thought was impossible. Like I'm living something impossible. And, you know, so Glennon, like we can do hard things is like such a mantra. And it's like, I've done for me, like the hardest thing. And I survived and I'm thriving. And so there was no world in which I would have thrived otherwise.
And we all deserve, safe lives and spaces where we can be ourselves. Like, whether we are, gay or like straight, like, society puts us in these boxes to try and, like, I don't know, whether it's to under try and understand us or whatever. And it's sad to think that people live their entire lives based on what everybody else expects of them, rather than trying to tune inward and say, like, what messages have I received that have been wrong? And how do I, like, what control do I have over my circumstances to change that? Because there's a book that I love. It's called Top Five Regrets of the Dying by Bronnie Ware. And one of the top five regrets, she spoke to people in palliative care during the final moments of their life, was I wished I'd lived a life that was true to myself and not what others expected of me. So it's like when we're all going about our days and worried about how we're going to be perceived, it's like, no, I want to be content and at peace with myself when I lay my head down at night. And I think that's one of my favorite things about having come out and being able to, like, step into who I truly am. It's like I do feel that way when I go to bed. I am proud of the way that I'm living and the choices that I'm making.
Yeah, that's incredible. What I'm gonna have to get the name of that book from you again because I think that sounds really powerful. And I'd like to say, and I believe that I'm like pretty like proud of who I've turned into, who I've worked really hard to become. And
You've
there's always
earned it.
work. Yeah, there's always work to do. So you already have done a TED Talk and you're doing another TED Talk. Tell us about your TED Talks.
I did a TEDx in Eustis, Florida last year. My Working Harder Isn't Working, and that was all about hustle culture and how millennials and Gen Z are just fed up with the workplace and what we're expected to do and how we're treated. Especially look at the society now and AI making people lose their jobs, and more Americans are working multiple jobs to survive than ever before. So my TEDx was all about how to change how we navigate in the workplace to alleviate burnout and more purpose-driven work. And then my upcoming TED on June 13th is in Philadelphia, TED Democracy Philadelphia. And I can't share too much about my speech topic yet, but it talks about basically joy as a civic expression. And the entire event is a look forward at the next 250 years and what we want to see and how we want to be a part, how we want to play a part in shaping that future. So it brings together people from all around the world. It was a global application, so it's an honor to have been chosen. I have 3 minutes on stage, and I bake a little bit of gay stuff into my 3 minutes, which to be up there during Pride Month and deliver that is like a really, really proud moment for me.
That's incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How'd you celebrate when you got the news?
If I'm being honest, celebrating myself is hard when it comes to my work-related stuff. I cried for sure when I got it, and then I think I was working on a speech at the time for another event that I had, and I like got right back to it. So you just reminded me that I needed to, in fact, celebrate this because it's been a lot of preparation. So you have my word that I will.
Okay, and I'm going to follow up with you about it. So
Please do.
I really hope you do it. That's amazing. I love the idea of, and I can't wait to hear the talk when it's out, of joy as a civic expression, because I also always think about joy, and I did not invent this by any means, but like joy as an act of resistance and like feeling joy, and because I think especially in times like these right now, it can feel for me, and I've heard from other people that like, it feels like there's a lot of guilt wrapped up in feeling good and doing things that or pleasurable because so many people are struggling and just it's terrible out there. And so to feel good can come with guilt. And so I remind myself pretty regularly that joy is an act of resistance. And like the more that the government tries to like take away trans people's rights and lives, like the more duty I have to live fully and truthfully and joyfully.
Yeah, amen to that.
So yeah,
Yeah,
so I'm
it
excited.
joy's the entire point, right? Joy is what we are fighting for. So we have to like our right to joy. That's like we get one life. So yeah, I think multiple things can be true at the same time. We can carry the grief alongside the joy, the pain alongside the pleasure, because that's what it is to be human.
Yeah, amen. I don't want this conversation to end. I'm having a great time, and that was a perfect kind of like button. And so I have one final question for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Bagels or donuts?
Oh man. So I quit drinking 3 years ago, and I have developed a mean sweet tooth because I used to love wine, so I am choosing donuts.
Okay, that's great. I would have chosen bagels, but it wasn't my question. Congrats on 3 years. I just celebrated 6 years on June 1st.
Oh, congrats to you. That's
Thank
amazing.
you. It is, and I've taken on more bagels and more sweets and more pop soda. I'm from the Midwest. And I've also gained many pounds, but also like I'm so much happier and so much more healthy, literally, like in all the ways that
Same.
it's like fine.
Yeah, treat yourself.
Yeah. And celebrate.
Yes, celebrate. I will. Remind
Celebrate.
myself, yes.
Remind you. I'll set a reminder to text you or email you and be like, you must celebrate. This has been so lovely, Danny. Thank you so much for sharing and thank you for coming out.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.